ball spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday out there, Western and Northwestern, Western Oklahoma, wherever you're at. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour as we get into all kinds of different stuff. Right after the show, as Jared told us yesterday morning, the OSSAA released the fast pitch and fall baseball state tournament brackets for Class A and B, which was obviously very nice. So we'll talk about where everybody's going to be. We've got some regional action coming up in fast pitch softball as well for the larger classes, Elk City included there in 4A. College football weekend, last weekend, we'll kind of rehash. We didn't, you know, Monday is always such a busy day, and it just feels like we're in here for about 10 seconds, right? So we didn't really get a chance to give our thoughts about what happened over the weekend on the college football gridiron, the NFL gridiron. So we'll do that, have our top 10 as we normally do on a Tuesday. So I want to hear yours. Rank your top 10 in college football right now, and you can send that to us at 225-9698. We'll also wrap up the NFL weekend after last night's Monday night football game. Only one undefeated left in the league. The Miami Dolphins are gathering to pop champagne for when Kyler and the Cardinals go down, and they remain the only undefeated team of all time, which will happen. No one goes undefeated in the NFL. So we'll rank our top five, bottom three in the NFL. Unfortunately, there was a fantasy football beatdown that we're going to have to discuss here on the show on Tuesday.
I'm sure we got time for that.
As bad as I hate to do it.
We got too much on the docket. We don't have time for that.
As bad as I hate to do it, and we're going to have to talk about that. And then after what you've seen, you know, it's amazing, but we're at the quarter pole of the NFL season. After week four, quarter of the schedule is gone. Almost. Quarter, need another half a game, or another quarter. But anyway. Any big changes in your mind from what you thought going in to what you've seen so far? I actually have one. A giant change from what I thought.
Me too.
To what I've seen. And I wonder if it's not going to be courtesy of the same team.
Mine involves teams.
Yeah. Okay. So that's where we're at. Top five, bottom three. Love to hear yours. 225-9698. That's in the NFL. Give us your top 10 in college football as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. Hey, you can do those things. You can do whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in. I'm looking right at the ESPN website, front page story. You've got a picture of Lou Holtz, and you got a picture of Bud Wilkinson. And the play like a champion sign.
How Lou Holtz is a crook, yeah.
I mean, that's
it's basically what he did.
It's exactly what happened.
It's what he did.
For him to act like he didn't is pretty crazy. But anyhow.
Because he's – never mind.
Anyhow, this seems like a moot point unless it wasn't –
It is a moot point.
Unless it wasn't trademarked. Was there not a trademark? I don't know. Does it matter if it's a trademark or not? You stole it, man.
They straight up stole it.
You stole it. Anyhow, 225-9698, phone or text line. Going to be outside the listening area. There are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon. You got radio. You got the Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. All kinds of stuff there. The Paragon Communications app. Let's see. You've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check that out. iTunes. Find it on iTunes. Subscribe to us. It's cool to hang out that way. That way you know when a new one drops. Excuse me. Or you can find us on KADSAM.com. How are you, Jared?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Yep.
A little delayed reaction.
Yeah.
Delayed response. Are you all right?
Are you really all right? I'm trying not to sneeze.
Oh.
At the moment. Just right into the microphone. You know something we neglected to go all the way through yesterday? I kind of mentioned it, but didn't really go through. And that is our Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. The standings are in a little bit of a upheaval at the moment. Lawn Boy Scotty has made a furious charge up the leaderboard after struggling to start. Over the past 3 weeks, he has gone, 20-10. A 67% clip. Moved all the way up into third. Andy Piffer has some company at the top of the list with my man Johnny Rep down Fort Cobb way. Tied atop the leaderboard, 29-21. So a lot of time to go, but it's kind of funny to see how the thing just kind of ebbs and flows and ebbs and flows. And I had my first losing week at 4-10. I've been right around 500 every time. But lots of fun. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty, People Before Property. And, it's funny because I had somebody text me last week talking about the list of games and kind of think, man, it's going to get harder. You know why? Because Vegas is going to start setting way better lines on all the games because they have that much more information. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Makes a ton of sense to me. It's just going to get harder. And maybe, it does feel like, I don't know how you do it, but it feels like the weeks where I just go, okay, boom, 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 instead of doing a bunch of research are the weeks I do better. But when you look, I think that, and I'm 25-25. So I've done it one way three times, the other way twice, and I miss just as many as I hit. So I guess it doesn't make any difference. But anyhow, it's going to continue all the way through the end of the season. All right, the NFL weekend wrapped up last night. Man, the Chargers looked fantastic on Monday Night Football, sprinting out to a 21-0 lead. Raiders cut it to 21-14, but the Chargers win 28-14. I thought, if you weren't watching at the first of the game, did you see what happened?
No.
There was a rain delay inside SoFi Stadium.
Well, how's that happen?
I wasn't watching. I was busy with other stuff. I was just kind of checking to see what the score was, and there was a rain delay to start. I'm guessing.
Well,
I
noticed that game a little later than usual.
Right.
I had to attend a meeting last night.
Yeah, so I was kind of running around too. I think what happened was they had to close the roof because there was a little shower going over. Anyway,
okay.
I thought that was interesting. During the game, though, man, Justin Herbert was awesome.
Sent some Oklahoma forecasters over there, so they could probably tell them.
Yeah,
they're not used to, I guess, rain.
Rain or lightning or whatever it was. Herbert was good. He continues to make me look like an idiot if you were listening to the show on the run-up to his draft class.
And he continues to make me look like a genius because I've loved this kid since day one.
I just the more you think about it, the more what in the world is Oregon doing to make him not look like the unquestioned number one overall pick. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because he clearly has been that in that class as far as the quarterbacks, for sure, right? I mean, you can love Burrow all you want to, but he hadn't looked any better than this guy. But the Chargers 3-1, LA 3-1, that division continues to be, to me there's like three really, really good divisions. From top to bottom. And one of those is the AFC West. Because when you look at the standings, the Chargers have been good all year. The Raiders have been good. Denver's been better than anybody thought. And Kansas City's last at 2-2. Right? I mean, they're a little bit like the AFC North, although it looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers have a lot more problems than what Kansas City has.
Yeah.
And maybe you trust Denver more than, say, the Bengals. From the west to the north, but the AFC North 3-1, 3-1, 3-1, and then Pittsburgh, which normally would be kind of an aberration, although I think, like I said, this year it's kind of the way it is. And then, of course, out west in the NFC West, you've got the Cardinals, Rams, Seahawks, and the Niners. I will tell you, as we kind of transition into big changes you would make, I would change both teams I predicted to be in the Super Bowl.
That's why I said teams.
I would change both teams right now.
I'm right there with you.
I had the Niners and I had the Chiefs. And I would not put either one of those in the Super Bowl at the quarter pole of the season.
Yeah, I had the repeat of last year. I had the Bucs and the Chiefs. The Bucs had to squeak by New England, and they got drummed by the Rams. They don't look the part, but you know what? They didn't look the part this time last year either. But, and then the same could be said about the Chiefs as far as looking the part. I'm just – that's where I would change. You're asking me if I would change anything right now. That's where I would change. I would change my Super Bowl, my predicted Super Bowl participants.
Only the Falcons. And listen, we got top five, bottom three. I'm sure the Falcons will be in both of our bottom threes, or at least they would be close to the bottom three. Only the Falcons have given up more points than the Kansas City Chiefs so far.
Sheesh.
Only the Falcons. And it's just a field goal more. Now, the difference, when you look at the, you know, Falcons going up 128 and only scored 78, so they're a minus 50, which is a point worse than anybody in the league. Whereas Kansas City's a plus 9 because they can score so many points. But that defense, yeesh. How you feeling, Dakota? Feeling good about it? Not feeling good about it? I mean, it's got to be worrisome for a Chiefs fan. You know, even Sean yesterday walked in. Thank goodness we finally won. But, man, we've given up too many points. You know the shocking team that's played horrible defense so far this season? And I think some people thought they had the best defense in the league.
Who's that?
The WFT.
Yes.
The WFT has given up 122, just six less than Atlanta. I think that is really surprising. That they have given up that many points so far. They just have not. It just, you know, that seemed like one of those defenses with a bunch of young guys on that D-line coming into the year that would kind of poised to be the next best thing, and it just has not happened so far for Washington. But so you would trade, you would change up both your Super Bowl picks, as would I right now. Do you have somebody in mind that you'd put there, or just kind of – in a holding pattern of, it's not these two, we'll see who it might
be. Well, I'm more comfortable in the AFC to put the Bills there. They've clearly turned around since that opening season trip up against Pittsburgh, scoring points out, I mean, like crazy. They're different. You mentioned the differential, 134 points to 44. That's a plus 90.
They've thrown back-to-back shutouts, haven't they?
I think so.
No, two out of three. They shut out the Dolphins in week two. So, and then shut out the Texans last week.
283 ain't bad. That's pretty good. But the NFC, that feels to me like it's more wide open. I mean, are we really believers in the undefeated Cardinals? You know what I mean?
As a Super Bowl contender? As the Super Bowl participant? No.
Right. And, you know, they got to play the Rams again. But it is at their – that was in L.A., wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the NFC is more wide open. And, you know, there's even discussion this morning I saw about, you know, Dallas, pretenders or contenders, you know, so NFC is really, really wide open. I'm comfortable with the Bills swapping them out, swapping Kansas City out for them. But I don't know who I'd put in. I mean, is Green Bay a contender? They seem like they're taking football serious now, running 3-1. And, you know, we mentioned Dallas.
They're a minus 5. They're 3-1 and are a minus 5.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know who I'd put in, so I kind of halfway answered your question about being in a holding pattern. I'm on a holding pattern with the NFC.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't necessarily a believer in Buffalo to start as far as being able to knock off Kansas City. We're going to see that game this week on Monday Night Football in Arrowhead. It's a game. It's not nearly the stakes as it was last January when those two teams met in Arrowhead by any stretch of the imagination. But after that just inexplicable loss to Pittsburgh, the Bills have looked very, very dangerous, very, very good. You know, that the North, those two – I know there's 3-3-1s in the North of the AFC. I'm not – there's no way in the world I'm going to sit here and act like Cincinnati is even in the discussion of a Super Bowl bid. Yeah, maybe they can squeak into the playoffs if they're better than anybody thought. But at this point, it's either Baltimore or Cleveland. You know, could you see one of those teams beating the Bills? Sure you could. I could. I think what the first 4 weeks have led me to believe is it's closer in the AFC than I thought. because I was kind of searching for a team, not totally trusting Cleveland, not totally trusting Lamar, quite frankly, not totally trusting Josh Allen either. Going into the season, okay, who's going to knock off Mahomes? I don't trust anybody to do it. And so I'm going to, you know, kind of pick Kansas City by default. I think there's a handful of teams that could be that team to be able to do it. Now, here's, I think, the key. And it may, the toughness of Kansas City's division increasing may help this quest. And that is, I don't know if there's anybody on that list that could go into Arrowhead and beat them in an AFC title game. And so that means seeding, you know, just one bye this year because of, you know, the extra teams in the playoffs and all that. I think that's going to be huge to not have to go in there and try to dethrone them. You know, it took Brady and the Pats to do it, what, 3 years ago. Nobody's been able to do it since. So I think that's going to be huge. And it's going to be tougher for Kansas City to be that one seed this year because their division isn't crap. They've got teams that are getting and have gotten better, and that's going to make it tougher for them to be able to be the one seed. So that's, I think the AFC is way more in flux than I thought it was to start. I always thought the NFC was that way. You know, I think both of us kind of made the argument for multiple teams before the season started. Those teams are still kind of there. You know, it doesn't feel like the pack has gone anywhere. Maybe the 49ers, but they're banged up, and they're also in that division that's so hard. But I think you've had teams emerge in the NFC to make the picture even more convoluted and even more muddy than it was to start, and I thought it was pretty muddy to start anyhow. And that's Dallas, and that's Arizona. Those two teams look like they are actually very good. And so, man, the race, all these games – in what looks like to be now both conferences are going to be huge because no one wants to have to go to Green Bay, even though Tampa did it last year in the NFC title game. Nobody's going to want to go do that and try to knock off Aaron Rodgers in what might be his swan song on that field with everything that happened this offseason.
Right.
To try to go up there and beat them to make the Super Bowl. Outside of that, though, is anybody scared to go into Jerry World and try to win a game against Dallas in the playoffs? No. I don't know how frightened anybody really would be to go to Tampa. It's a way different atmosphere than what you get with, like, Arrowhead and Kansas City in January. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's a totally different monster. And so, really, outside of Green Bay being the one, I'm not sure if anybody would be scared to death of go any other place in the NFC to try to win a road game in an NFC title game.
Yeah, I completely agree.
No, Arizona. Yeah. I take that.
Lack of success Dallas has had since the new building's been built for the playoffs. They got to buck that trend. And I think they can. I mean, I thought it was really good for a noon game. I thought watching that Dallas game, when Diggs got his second pick, that place was loud, I thought. Mm-hmm. On the TV, it sounded like that place is going crazy. That place is loud. If you can go in there with a single-digit loss record and have the crowd just waving towels and going nuts, you know, that's why he built that place. It's gigantic. There's tons of places people can be. It's standing room only. I could see that place being an intimidating place, but the thing is, they just have to win a playoff game in that building.
Yeah.
They have not had a lot of success there. I can't remember what is their record in there in the
beat
playoffs.
Beat Seattle the 1 year. Detroit. Feels like they beat Detroit the 1 year. I mean, well, the fact is they haven't had much playoff success anywhere.
That's true.
Quite frankly.
Not in the last 25 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's the hits have been few and far between. You know, Arizona's been a place when they've been in the playoffs that's been tough to win.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it. Maybe that's another place. Just from
how is the new stadium in L.A.?
Yeah.
You know, as far as playoff atmosphere, we don't know from last year.
You know what? You know one that could be awesome? We don't know, but you know one that could be awesome on the other side? Vegas.
Now, that place could
– Vegas could be killer.
When they opened that place up earlier this year, my wife's like, "Why? What's the big deal?" It's like, this is the first time they've had fans in that building. They're going nuts. It looks awesome. If they bring in that big fight atmosphere like they tried to do with, what was it, Michael Buffer, you know, introducing the teams or yelling, "Let's get ready to rumble." I mean, that place could get crazy.
It's been awesome for the.
I mean, it's Vegas for crying out loud.
You know, and then, but that's kind of twofold though. How many people are Vegas natives versus moved in from other places?
Yeah.
You know, if it's, you know, I don't know how many people from Green Bay would move to Vegas, but it's cold to warm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you could.
I'll tell you
could
this. If I'm living in Green Bay and I had the chance to move to Vegas, I'm moving to Vegas.
I mean, you're doing it, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So maybe it depends on
who they
play.
But would I give up my fandom of the Green Bay Packers
to adopt the.
Yeah, that's the question. Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah. Now, if you're moving from, say, I don't know, the Meadowlands, it's easy to go. You mean I could root for the winning Vegas team in a warm climate?
Yeah, but the Giant, I mean, Giant fans, they've been there forever. They've been good for a long time.
Jets, God bless them.
Jets got to win. They both got to win. I wonder what the odds in Vegas, speaking of Vegas, wonder what the odds were for that, that both the Jets and Giants would win on the same weekend in overtime.
Shoot, man. Washington won.
That was crazy.
And the Giants won. Philly gave a fight but lost. I mean, that's what we want as Dallas fans. Every time Dallas wins, I go, okay, well, how do the other three do? I saw 2 out of 3 won. Like, well, dang it.
Yeah. That
means Dallas got to keep winning.
Division was almost over.
I know, right?
It was almost
that's
over.
That's what I was saying.
It still should be. I mean, listen, I said it. We got a promo plan. It's fine. If the Dallas Cowboys can't win the NFC East this year, they might as well disband and blow up that stadium.
What I say when
it's crazy if they can't win this division because it is awful.
Well, what I say even before that when they lost to the Bucs, I said if they play like that against the rest of the next 8 opponents, they can win. And so far they're 3-0. They got Giants coming up at the Pats, which may or may not be tough based on what we saw Sunday night. At Vikings, that one's going to be tough. Hosting Broncos, that'll be tough. But I thought Carolina would be tough with their defense.
It was for a while,
yeah,
and then it was at the end.
And then, of course, that Chiefs. I mean, what I was saying, that schedule on paper sets up nice. I don't know. I mean, but, yeah, it'd be nice if the other teams lost so that division can just get wrapped up so we don't have to worry about each game.
Oh, listen.
But, man, as far as NFC Super Bowl participants, you could almost say there's about – right now, 5 teams that are up in the air.
Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa, Cardinals, Rams.
Yeah.
And I would put the whole division in the West.
Sure.
Would you be surprised if any 4 of those made it?
Not at all.
I mean, I know I just said that, you know, take San Francisco away. And hurt and, you know, quarterback thing is not great out there. But you still wouldn't be surprised. I mean, shocked by any stretch if they made it.
Man, I know Minnesota lost on Sunday, but you could see them turning it around.
Minnesota could be 4-0.
I know.
And they're 1-3. How about that? They're 1-3, and they're the only team in their division with a plus differential.
Yeah.
You know, think about how they lost. They lost with Dalvin Cook fumbling the game away before they were trying to kick a game-winning field goal week 1. They missed a game-winning field goal in which their announcer, Paul Allen, called it good as it missed in week 2. What happened in week 3? They won. And then last week against Baker and the Browns, they were in that game the entire way. Just couldn't muster up enough offense. So, yeah, Minnesota's –
man, they're looking at
for a
1-3,
I hate to say this because I have a buddy that will probably text in and go, aha, whatever. But they're for sure the best 1-3 team in the league, right?
Well, that's – yeah, I don't see – that's –
I mean,
that's
there's a whole
hard,
bunch of
that's
them.
That's not hard – yeah, there's a lot of them, but that's not hard to argue because those other ones have a lot more flaws, and Minnesota's flaw is just bad luck.
The only other 1-3 team with a plus-minus is New England. And either side, so –
But Minnesota's record, I say they could turn it around. I mean, they should win against the Lions next. But then you got to go to Carolina. I mentioned the Dallas game, at Baltimore, at the Chargers – hosting Green Bay at 49ers.
Ooh, yeah, their schedule's pretty tough there. Okay, top 5.
Top 5. My top 5 going 5-1. I got Cowboys in my top 5 at number 5, followed by the Rams, the Packers, the Cardinals, and then the Bills at number one.
I've got Chargers 5, Dallas 4, Rams 3, Cardinals 2, Buffalo 1. Bottom three.
Does it matter in what order in this one? Falcons, Jags, Lions. I went 3-2-1 on that one. Lions are the worst team. They're bad. Everybody should beat them. The Jags, they were so close on Thursday. I mean, it's so hard for Urban. He can't get it done.
Look to me like he is getting it done afterwards.
That's too easy.
I don't know. Whoa.
And Falcons, man, if you're losing to the Giants, you deserve to be on this list.
That's why I've got them number one.
Ah, okay.
Falcons worst, Detroit next, and the Jags. I gave the Jags the tip of the cap because of Herb's off-field shenanigans. He scored in the end to put them over below the Detroit Lions. How about Herb? I mean,
the explanation was ridiculous.
I mean, if you're Trevor Lawrence, you got to be thinking, hey, what's up, bro? Why am I getting lumped into this? I was nowhere to be. I was on the plane going home.
Was he?
Yeah. Herb stayed in Ohio after the game on Thursday against the Bengals.
I thought Urban said something about he was
Lawrence was going to Vegas
for his bachelor party, and
he told me to be careful.
Please be careful, and then look what Urban does.
Yeah. I thought that already happened. I thought that
it might have been. I caught it right in the middle. Right. So it might have been.
Either way, hey, you know how I can tell Herb's a Democrat?
How's that?
He's giving out rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you think he knew that? Listen, we don't need to go there.
We don't need to go there.
I mean,
we've already gone too far.
No.
With that discussion.
Not for Urban Meyer, we haven't. Coming up this weekend, college football, it's a good one. Ranked matchups all over the place. Of course, the Red River rivalry down in Dallas between number 6 Oklahoma and number 21 Texas. Got one over in the SEC, same time at 11 a.m. with Arkansas at Mississippi. A couple teams licking their wounds when they went up against the actual big dogs in the SEC last week. Georgia at Auburn. It's one of the longest running rivalries in the SEC with the Dogs at the Tigers. 3-4 Iowa Penn State. Games in Iowa City. Is there one more later? Oh, no. There's not any more. A&M's not ranked, so that's not a ranked game. I was thinking it was, but it's not. That's right. A&M's 3-2.
I sound like that dog. What's that dog?
I know. I mean,
I love that so much.
Was there anything?
I love that for the fan that calls in Mark about every other week to
he's supposed to be on there
his,
today.
I can't Aggie wait. Dave. I can't wait to hear him get a beer popped on him.
I actually think Aggie Dave is just letting on that deal.
Oh, you think?
He's messing around. Yeah.
I certainly hope so. But as delusional as that fan base is, it wouldn't shock me.
Taxes, and A&M out of the college football playoff discussion in the second weekend of October.
Yeah.
Just kind of the way things roll.
Yep.
And now they'll convince themselves that they'll have a chance to beat Alabama. And
that's
not going to happen.
17.5-point underdogs.
Well, Jared, it's just because their starting quarterback hasn't been playing. Outside of that, they'd be winning all these games.
Yeah, that's it. The first-year starter who's supposed to take them to the very top?
I don't think so.
Give me a break.
What's bad is he's probably better than Kellen Mond. He started there for 4 years. Anyhow, enough A&M. They're going to get killed this week by Alabama.
Yeah.
Last week, it's Oklahoma's offense finally got going, scored on 7 of 8 possessions. And so that was something that I know Sooner fans have been waiting on. But then the defense doesn't quite show up like it had been in a 37-31 win over
Kansas State. Did they relax a little bit?
In
the second half when it was, 30?
It was 27-10 at one point.
27-10. Did they make it 30-10, or what did they do?
30-10? Was it ever 30-10?
I'd have to look at the box. I can't. But I was guilty of it, too, because people started showing up at my house. And I started, okay, they got this. And I kind of walked away from it. And then I saw the kick return. Like, wait a minute.
That happened? Was at the very end, wasn't it?
The very end. And, they recovered the onside, and they did. So, and I've gone back, obviously.
34 to 17.
Yeah, it was 34 to 17 at one point. It made me think, at what point in the game? Third quarter? Late third? Mid third?
This would have probably been in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
It made me think, did they just...
10 minutes to play.
Sit back 34-17. And, you know, go, hey, if Kansas State wants to go another long, time-consuming drive, they're more than welcome to.
And they did. 11 plays, 75 yards. Made it 34-24. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm not trying... Listen, the defense... And Grinch was very, very vocal about how he felt about that performance. And he's probably trying to light a fire before this week. But back to the offense, it was nice. Did you feel more like what... Say at the end of the second quarter... Oh, you got the ball with, what, 90 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
Did you think, I think they can go down and score?
Not really.
Based on what happened at the end of the West Virginia game?
Yeah, I mean, just what I've seen with my own eyes. But they did.
Well, I'm asking this. I mean, did your confidence – now is your confidence a little bit better with the offense?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. I don't trust that offensive line. They were better. I don't know what our man Tyrese Robinson is doing. Just ridiculous penalties. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, Riley used the run game a little bit more. Even though it's not his strength, I think the threat and the ability of Rattler to actually run on his own read matters.
Yep.
I think that matters just to keep defenses honest. And, you know, he 8 carries, 24 yards, some sacks are in there. He had a long of 14. But You have to have that threat of him pulling it and running around the end to keep people honest, and that helps with Brooks. I thought they finally Oklahoma finally played the right running back the most. Kennedy Brooks was in there for the most part, well over half the snaps. He had 15 carries to Eric Gray's 4, and he had 15 carries for 91 yards, 6.1 a carry. I mean, that's what he is. He's a good back. He's not
it's like
the greatest,
he has to get
but
going.
He's good.
You have to keep feeding him to mm-hmm. get going, right?
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, offensively it was better. Defensively it was worse. And at the end of the day, you know, your quarterback goes 22 of 25. You know, they're still lacking big, explosive plays that have been such a staple of Lincoln Riley's offense at Oklahoma. You know, Mims had the one for, what, 40 yards or so. Brooks broke off a 28-yard run. But they're still not the throw it down the field. Even the one that Mims caught, it was more of an intermediate route that he stretched out with his legs as opposed to just flying down the field and catching one. And so I think teams, when you know, the conversation's out there, and it has been for a while now, as far as, okay, our defense is really catching up with these high-powered offenses. And I think one way that is happening, and you see it against OU, is teams have decided to take away those huge shots down the field and make Oklahoma execute from point A to point B to point C to point D all the way down the field. And they just assume that eventually they can't. And even if you give up a field goal, that's better. You know, a 10-play, 70-yard drive for a 25-yard field goal is way better than watching Oklahoma hit one over the top and you know, it's a 15-second drive for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, we can sit here and talk about having to do this, having to do that offensively for Oklahoma. I don't know if teams are going to let them. That's the whole point. Rush 3 or 4, drop 7 or 8, and make you matriculate it down the field and be patient enough to do it. I thought, oh, you showed some patience there. Their play calling and quarterback play on Saturday.
Is ball control more of an emphasis for Riley and OU on offense? Because when I'm asking this, that was kind of the knock, was they'd score too fast, defense too tired. Is that based on play calls? Okay, let's hand it off for 4 here. Let's swing it out to Gray over here, see what he can get. Let's get some guys in spaces and see if they could pop 5 to 6 yards as opposed to the big plays down the field. Or is it still a matter of just figuring out what works best with these guys on offense?
I don't think there's any doubt that Riley has slowed things down from 2015 to now. Now, part of that, I also think he trusted the quarterback that he had back then more than this one.
Yeah.
I do think he was trying to protect defense, but here's the problem right now. You know, the lack of possessions, I don't think it has anything to do with OU's offense. It's the defense not being able to get off the field. You know, there's a lot.
The third down, fourth down stuff drives me nuts.
There's a lot of discussion. And you know what? If you look at just the numbers, you know, 8 of 15 wasn't very good. But before that, before the Kansas State game, Oklahoma's third down defense had been pretty good. The fourth down hadn't, and it continued that way this week. 8 of 15 third down, then 4 of 5 on fourth. There's, you know, that I'm a firm believer and have been for a while now. You win the toss, you defer, because I think you can control a lot of what happens in that halftime area with knowing you have the ball. We saw it on Saturday. You mentioned the 90 seconds. So you went down and got a field goal, got the ball to start the second half, went down, scored a touchdown, boom, 10 points.
Felt without, like a turning point.
Exactly.
But then the defense, when they went up 10, the defense, what, forced the three and out.
But you scored 10 without Kansas State touching the ball.
Exactly. No, yeah, that's where I felt like it was a turning point.
And
turning point A, turning point B was the defense came out, got the three and out, because then you knew, God, OU has not failed on offense so far in this game. They're going to go down and score, and they did.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's a 27-10.
You can start seeing fans already leaving at that point.
That's right. But having said all that, I'm not so sure, because what else has happened, though? What else happened before that? Kansas State got the ball to start the game, marched down 12 plays. They got 60-some yards, took off almost 7 minutes of the clock. Now, they did. OU forced the fumble. But that's still such a negative. You know, think about the Nebraska game. What happened there? Long drive. Long, you know. Mm-hmm. And so does Riley have to consider, hey, we win the toss. I want the ball because I want my offense out there before there's 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter?
It's a great argument. It's a great point. I don't know. You know, everything tells you is kick it off. But how it seems like the offense has put a more of an emphasis on ball control, not scoring fast, but I don't know. That's a great point. It'd be great to get the ball, go down, take 7 minutes off clock, and punch it in for six to start the game. That would be incredibly deflating for the defense and the opposing team.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? You put their backs against the wall the entire game. I don't know. That's a good question.
The question is, if K-State scores a touchdown, do they win on the opening drive? Who knows? I mean, but that's the thing about it, is even though they didn't, it still slowed that game down so much. Oh, you got the ball three times in the first half.
Right.
And you look at halftime, you go, golly, 13, the Sooner offense hasn't been very good. Well, they scored on every possession. You know what I'm saying? You know? And so it's, you got to figure out a way to create more. And I totally understand why the change started to happen, because the last thing you want to see, let's say just for the sake of argument, that opening drive for Kansas State is a touchdown. 7-0, you're on the road, the crowd is fired up, and then you go fast and you commit and you go three and out. Now your defense is right back out there after giving up a touchdown in 7 or 8 minutes and having to go grind it back out. I totally understand kind of the philosophy of it, but I also think it might be getting to a little bit of a detriment against it. Now, this week you may not have that luxury, because in some of the what I've seen Texas, they're willing to go as fast as anybody.
Yeah.
On offense. And so, you know, does it not feel, I don't know, how about you? I'll ask you this, I guess. I feel like this is going to be the first real shootout of the year for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I do too. Because of what you said about Texas, I could see that being a game like it was against TCU for Texas last week, something in that area. And I'm sure we'll pick this game later in the week. But
hey, both teams in the 30s.
Yeah. But you're right. Texas, they're not going to slow down. They're going to go.
But and to that point, you know, it's going to be important for either offense to get a first down to start, because that's the last thing you want to do is get demoralized on a drive and then have put your defense right back out there with the way the this thing goes and all the emotion. But anyway, what's your top 10 in college football?
Let's see here. I'll go 10-1. I like Michigan State at 10. I still have Oregon in my top 10 based on how they lost that game. I mean, was it Stanford scoring at the final play of regulation to extend it into overtime? Michigan, it's funny, Michigan State and Michigan, I wrote notes on these, both of them. Let's wait and see. You know, I mean, Michigan, they have a tough one with Nebraska this week. They're only a 3.5-point favorite. So we'll see about that one. I still have Ohio State. I think it's time to take notice of them again. That, with the way they just dismantled, was it Rutgers? I think Ohio State, they could finally start getting things together. Cincinnati, they got that signature win versus Notre Dame. I still have a lot of questions about Notre Dame. They've struggled against Florida State. They struggled against Toledo. They were only up a touchdown going into the fourth quarter against Purdue. So was it a really good win for Cincinnati, or is Notre Dame kind of, you know? And then Notre Dame's at Virginia Tech this week. Keep an eye on that one. I got OU. Is the offense better? We just discussed all that. Iowa, they hushed a lot of doubters, including me, on Friday night. I thought that'd be a lot closer.
Yeah, I did too.
I didn't think closer. Iowa's offense would score that many points all season long. I knew Iowa was good, but I didn't think – I thought they'd have trouble with Maryland on the road on a Friday night. They had no trouble at all. Penn State, this is based on really how I think they'll do against Iowa. I think Penn State actually wins that game. But I like Penn State right there at 3. Then Bama, then Georgia. Georgia has the best defense, not just this season, probably the best defense we've seen in quite a long time. I mean, statistically, they're putting up some incredibly historic numbers defensively. So that's why I have them a slight edge over Bama at 1.
I've got Ohio State 10, Oregon 9, because Oregon beat Ohio State. Just, you know, simple as that.
I got you.
Michigan State at 8. Michigan at 7, I do think you bring up a great point. Watch out. If you're the Wolverines, watch out in Lincoln this week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That would mean I've got the Sooners at, what would that be, 6? Cincinnati 5. I've got Iowa 4, Penn State 3, Georgia 2, Bama 1.
It's almost 1A and 1B with those two.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they just seem – it's those two and everybody else.
And really and truly, I probably have Bama 1 because
– Georgia's struggled with Clemson.
And Bama's going to beat Georgia. They just
they
do.
They always do.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean?
You're right. They always do.
It's probably a little – because everything else I kind of tried to – you know, I put Cincinnati over OU because Cincinnati has the best win between the two. That one at Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? I just – but,
I guess I still think like BCS, like strength of schedule and whatnot. I look at what the other teams, how the other teams do against that set opponent, like Notre Dame. You know, FSU is horrible. Toledo, Purdue, middle of the road, maybe.
Yeah.
And they struggled with all three of those teams. No, I'm not trying to take away the win. It's never easy to go into South Bend and win.
Huge
it's
win.
never easy.
Huge win.
But maybe I'm just trying to be Nostradamus here and try to look ahead and go, well, there's losses on that schedule for Notre Dame. How big of a win is it for Cincinnati? How many times have we seen that in the past where a win early in the year looks awesome and then like, well, yeah, that was great, but they wound up finishing 7-5 or whatever.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, I think the Georgia-Bama is one of those – it's really interesting because, like you said, that Georgia defense is historically great right now. I mean, it is just historically great. And, you know, they've got, you know, how good's Clemson? Who knows? I mean, but they won that game, and they won that game dominating. And then, in my mind, Arkansas and Ole Miss is probably a walk. You know, we'll find out this weekend when they play each other, but that's very similar opponents. And, my God, Georgia just demolished them. From the very first play, I mean, they just whipped them.
Oh, it wasn't even.
No, it was never. I mean, it took about three plays or so to go, oops, should have picked Georgia in the old Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em because this ain't working for Arkansas. And, I mean, like, the back door was closed in the first quarter.
Yeah, I sat down to watch that game, and then I stood immediately right up.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is
whipping. This is not going to be close.
What about, got a question on the text line about Dabo and Clemson.
Mm.
It's pretty interesting to watch. I mean, as bad as I hate to say what I'm about to say, I picked DJ Uiagalelei to win the damn Heisman. What a horror. That might be the worst pick of all time. That offense is bad. The defense is still pretty good. You know, they're not giving up slew of bad, even again in the Georgia game. And they gave up 10 and lost.
Right.
And it didn't look like they had any chance to get to 10. That's what's scary. But, man, Clemson is offensively, at least, they have fallen off the map. I don't know if it tells you that Trevor Lawrence was that good. You know, a lot of the weapons are back. You know, Justin Ross didn't play last year, but he's back. May not look quite the same after that neck injury or whatever, but there's huge problems. There's no doubt at Clemson, at least on the offensive side. What was the stat I just saw? It's the first time they haven't been ranked in the top 25, and I mean a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. But I'm not ready to shut the door on Dabo.
Oh, no, no. For this year, yes, I mean? But not moving forward.
No. I mean, it happens. It happens in every program. There's always a year where it's just not there. It doesn't work. Turnover, whatever. Am I saying Dabo and Clemson are done for good? Absolutely not. It wouldn't shock me if they come back next year and they're dominant again.
Yeah, it's just really weird how
it's very weird. I know. And this season's been weird for everybody.
Yeah,
it seems like it's just been weird. There's been weird games. There's been weird results. There's been abnormal stuff happening. And I really do think that's because we're still, pardon my pun, recovering from COVID. Last year was a weird season, and now we're back to a normal season. And it's like, wait a minute, wait. We're back to normal. You know what I mean? I just think it's just all weird.
I think it's hard to quantify the difference because of the so-called super seniors.
No, right. You're right.
I mean, this is Skylar Thompson's seventh year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you realize who's still kicking for Texas?
Yeah, but
he's been there forever.
Well, he was just a freshman in 18.
It just seems like he's been there.
He hasn't even gotten an extra year. Skylar Thompson's been there since Bill Snyder was the damn coach. Yeah. I mean, that is crazy.
Yes.
7 years, but I think
he has more gray hairs than me.
I think some of the reason now Bam is a machine, and that's just the way it goes. But I think some of the reason for a little bit of this is, you know, it's all what's been the biggest detriment to the playoff. Well, it's the same teams all the time. Well, when the same teams are there all the time, they are also going to have they're going to be the ones that have the guys leaving early because they got the most talent because they're most NFL ready or what have you. You know what I'm saying? And I think we're seeing that actually catch up this year. Because of the pandemic, I don't think it's the not normalcy as far as the routines this year. I think the pandemic is still not normal because allowing guys that extra year.
Right.
And now you've got a lot of these teams that are so much more experienced than some others. And I think that's making a big time difference in what we're seeing throughout college football. Supposed to have this done already.
What's that?
Pulling up the brackets. You have the brackets pulled up?
Oh, yeah, I do.
For which?
All of them.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right, how about you do fall baseball as I pull up these fast pitch?
Okay, Class A, Oktaha taking on Sterling. This is all at DeLisi Park. Oktaha taking on Sterling Thursday at 10 a.m., followed by Canute taking on Red Oak at 1 p.m. Bottom part of the bracket has Dale taking on Rattan at 4, and the nightcap is Tushka versus Silo at 7 o'clock. Class B over at Edmond Santa Fe High School, 10 a.m. It's Roth and Granite. How about the Granite Tigers?
They're the Panthers.
I know they're a cat. Got Tiger King on the mind. I like that they're there, though. That's cool. You know, our boy's probably going to be covering that in Orlando.
Oh, yeah?
I bet he will. Roth and Granite at 10 a.m., followed by Boswell and Lukiba Sickles. Welcome back, Lukiba Sickles, speaking of Panthers. 1 p.m., bottom of the bracket. Usual contenders here, Fort Cobb taking on Leedy, the two usual contenders.
Yeah.
That would be a fun game at 4 o'clock. And Glencoe and Tupelo at 7 o'clock. And there's your Class B. All those are at Edmond Santa Fe, Class B. Class A, everything's at DeLisi Park. And then both championship games at the Brick, downtown Oklahoma City.
It's a Thursday and Friday. You've got A at DeLisi, Class B at Edmond Santa Fe, and then Saturday's finals are down at the Brick, Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark. That's right. For Class A in the Fast Pitch Hall of Fame Stadium, they're Integrus Field for Thursday and Friday, and then OG&E Energy Field for Saturday. They'll kick it off at 11 a.m. The Shattuck Lady Indians will play Caddo, 11 a.m. on Thursday, followed by at 1:30 Arapahoe Butler. Hey, welcome to the state tournament. Your reward, number one Bingeroni. That's 1:30 Arapahoe Butler Bingeroni. Then at 4, Ripley and Cyril. At 6:30, Red Oak and Navajo. That's all at in the Integrus Field at Hall of Fame Stadium on Thursday for the Class A Fast Pitch State Tournament. Class B, get things going at 11 with Whitesboro and Buffalo Valley, followed by at 1 o'clock Turner and Roth. Then we get up to the top of the bracket where everybody around here cares to know. At 4 o'clock, it's Arnett, Lady Wildcats against Moss, followed by 6:30, Lakeba Sickles and Hammond. That shows to be at the USA Hall of Fame Field. The OG&E Energy Field will be the finals, 4 o'clock on Saturday. Then I've got some regional, Class 2A regional action. Let's see, Friday, Hinton will play at 2 against Pawhuska. That is in Minco. Hobart, 2 o'clock against Stratford. That's in Morrison. AMPO will play at noon, hosting Cashin. Then Mangum, Lady Tigers, headed down to Latta Thursday at noon. Crescent and Texoma, the other two there. And let's see, do we have one more? I thought we might have one more team of local interest in 2A. Nope, we don't. Class 4A, Elkettes. They are at Tecumseh, 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon against Blanchard. Tecumseh and Marlow. Marlow was the winner of the play-in series. They play at noon. So Tecumseh, Marlow at noon, Elk City and Blanchard at 2 o'clock. Weatherford will go to Lone Grove. They'll play Chickasha at 2 o'clock. Let's see. That's probably, I think Clinton got beat last night. Ada. Yeah, Clinton got beat by Ada in the play-in thing, the play-in series.
Yeah, I don't see anybody else from 4A that we would.
Yeah, they would have been there with Weatherford down in Lone Grove. Got beat by Ada. So there you go. Fall baseball, fast pitch softball, already here to the state tournament. Man, does it not seem like it just started?
You know what happens unless like one, two, three. Wow. 4 weeks from Friday is basketball.
I know. I say that about fall baseball and fast pitch, and then I think, wait a minute.
That means basketball.
Football's already week six.
Yeah, we're halfway through the
football season.
Regular season, yeah.
It's crazy how fast it goes.
Flies by.
All right, everybody have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully Urban Meyer stays out of the clubs. Have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.